Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today's April 6, 2019. We're here live for the next 2 hours, sort of, kind of. Got a couple of repeats coming up for you. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you know that I start my day with a cup of CEFCO Premium Joe coffee, right? Well, I'm showing you in the video right now that my cup have changeth because the CEFCO cup had a leak in it. But anyway, I'll show it to you real quick. Here it is. I drink my fresh Premium Joe in the morning because it tastes the same every time. I don't have to worry about it being bitter or anything like that. So it's good. Check it out. They also got a special. They got two Powerade 32-ounce bottles for $2.50. So check it out. Tell the girls hi. Say you heard it on the show, you know, and just have a good time today. Pick up a pack of smokes, newspaper, whatever it takes to get your day going, and wash it down with a couple bottles of Powerade. If you want to be part of this show today, give us a call here at the studio. It's 254-697-6633. Or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. And don't forget, we're simulcasting right here, right now, on this station, KMIL 105.1 FM, The Ranch, and out of Rockdale at KRXT 98.5 FM. If for some reason you're having bad reception, go to the respective websites, and tune in that way. And give us a call, like I said, at 254-697-6633. Don't forget the social media aspects of the program. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. I've always got updates, product spotlights, neat things, training videos, the whole works, and like us there. Also on Instagram, follow us there on Instagram, and by all means, for sure, without fail, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the YouTube channel, and become a subscriber there. Tons and tons of great stuff, interviews, product demos, the whole works, so check it out. Let me give you an idea what's coming up on today's show. First of all, I've got a license to carry class April 20th. 2019, that's this year. That's what, in a couple weeks? We still got seats available. So give me a call or give me an email and we'll get you locked into that one. True Stories of Self-Defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And this week's stories are from 1982. Let's see if anything has changed in how people defend themselves. There's really not a change. You're only really going to see is a difference in the writing of the stories and possibly the types of calibers that they're using. Today's License to Carry Attorney segment is going to be talking about gun rights, the NFA, and the Gun Control Act of 68. It's always good to know where these things come from, what they mean, and how they affect us when it comes to using, purchasing, possessing firearms. Next will be the delicious Jhené Goodman telling us about fats and oils. What's the difference and how to make your own? Now, I asked her specifically on this because I don't know about you, but when I look at the process of making lard, I thought it was very interesting. And the finished product just looked very appealing. Even though it's fat or lard or whatever you want to call it, it's just a pretty white how it comes to be. So I just thought that'd be an interesting thing. Plus, we can use it in times for preparedness. It's good to have on hand. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the Duke of Decency, the communicator of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Following the chief will be the devotional minute. That's always a great thing. If you want to become a member of that or sign up to the list on that, I can tell you about that probably after the 11 o'clock hour. Then on the product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, this week's going to be the Ruger Super Blackhawk and 44 Mag. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll see the video there of me holding it. It's a beast. It's a tank. It's your faithful companion, okay? So we're going to talk about it. Give ANC Firearms a call, 254-983-4417. My special guest this week, by special request, will be me. A little bit of this and a little bit of that, okay? So we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff during that. And before the close of the show, if we're lucky, we're going to have Master Cindy Key in here to show us another self-defense move using me as practice target. And I know you always enjoy that. So strap yourselves in, crank up the volume, tell everybody you know to listen, and get your note-taking material ready, because after this break, we're going to be starting the show with true stories. Kincaid, take us out of here. We'll see you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's my board operator's fault for the delay in me getting back. He's cranking out Smoke on the Water. I was telling him about the story of how that song came to be. Fantastic song, great song, gets me going. We're here at the True Stories of Self-Defense. And ladies and gentlemen, I got a couple extras here. I got a WTF moment, or actually a Delta Foxtrot moment. For any of you military personnel out there, you can figure that one out. And then I got one that I just can't believe. So I don't know where to start. I'll tell you what, we'll start with the Armed Citizens column. This is from 1982. I got four stories here. I'm going to read them cold, give you my personal opinion on them, and see what we find here. Story number one. Steve and Marion Wynn were stopped at a Miami, Florida traffic light when an elderly woman in the car next to them began to gesture frantically for help. The Wynns gave chase and followed the car for some distance before it abruptly stopped. Wynn pulled his .38 caliber revolver as a pair of kidnappers bolted from the car. The woman and a friend had been sitting in the back seat of the car waiting for their husbands when the criminal pair jumped in and drove off. Whoa. Story number one, lock your door. Story number two, if you forget to lock your door and you're sitting in the back seat, have a gun. Number three, if a couple people jump in and try to kidnap you, you pull out your gun from your purse or wherever you got it and you stick it to their head and you say, get out of the freaking car. Now, when it comes to the Wynns, great job. He was prepared. He had his .38 revolver on him, and he saved the day. So good job for him. Lessons learned. Story number two. A pair of thugs started beating Woodrow Wilson Glanston of Newark, New Jersey. Then they took his wallet, his money, and his car keys. But the 69-year-old Glanton drew a .25 automatic, opened fire, hitting one of the criminals in the chest, killing him. The other robber was wounded by the... This is interesting here. I just quickly glanced at it. The other robber was wounded by an irate relative of the dead man when he reported the crime and killing. Did I read that right? So here you got this older gentleman who used a .25 auto. So for all you people saying a .25 auto can't kill, well, it can, okay? Granted, there's other calibers that'll do it better, but a .25 auto will kill you if it hits the right spot. The other thing is here, if I'm reading this right, a relative, is that what? Yeah, a relative was kind of PO'd by the whole thing and shot the other guy. Okay, that's a little confusing. I'm going to pass on to the third story. John C. Fletcher was working in his Pewaukee, Wisconsin gun store when he heard a hammering on one of the building's walls. He grabbed a .357 Magnum revolver and went to investigate. He found a would-be burglar trying to pound his way into the store. Fletcher held him for police. You know, I don't get this. These guys... You know, I thought bad guys are stupid today. But back then, you're pounding on the wall of a gun store. Don't you look to see if it's open or anybody's in it? And then the other big thing on this story is Mr. Fletcher went and grabbed his weapon first to investigate. And in this story, it was a revolver. Notice how the stories in 1982, they're either revolvers or small caliber pistols. because right about that time is when everything exploded with the compact nines and everything like that. So we were still reading the stories of the older type of guns here. Okay, so the main thing in the story is go get your weapon first to investigate. Story number four. Minnie Stoner and her husband, both 77, returned to their Sacramento, California trailer home one evening to find a youthful burglar inside. When the hoodlum began to beat her husband, Mrs. Storer pulled a .38 caliber revolver from a chair and fired, hitting the assailant in the abdomen. Once again, a revolver, .38, common. Mama's taking care of Papa, good deal, working as a team, and she wasn't afraid to use it. So, and the accuracy was much better than we have seen in much sooner, more recent times. People getting shot in the legs, lack of training. Maybe she went to the range and trained a little bit. So there you go. Four stories from the Armed Citizens Column from 1982, The American Rifleman. Let me jump over here to a Delta Foxtrot moment. Figure it out. Belton man dies after apparent accidental shooting. Belton, a 25-year-old man, died Sunday evening after a gun with which he was reportedly playing with went off and killed him. Friends were with the man when it happened. The man's name hasn't been released yet. Belton Police Department responded, blah, blah, blah. There you go. It appears as an accidental shooting. I think from later reports he was spinning it on his finger or something. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you're that stupid to be playing with a gun like that, you know, sometimes you get what you need to get. I don't know. Don't play with the guns. Guns are serious business. You put your finger on the trigger when you're ready to shoot, okay? Not yourself. I've got an article here that kind of irritated the heck out of me, and I'm going to read it to you. Yes, this segment's going a little long. And I don't know where the article came from. I lost the article origin. Let's see if we can figure it out. A mom armed with a pistol reportedly saved her 5-year-old daughter from being kidnapped at a West Virginia mall Monday night. The incident happened in Old Navy at the Huntington Mall in Barbersville around 6 p.m. as Mohammed Fathi Hussein Zayan, 54, from Alexandria, Egypt, grabbed the child by the hair and attempted to pull her away, reports WYMT. Police say the mother then pulled out a handgun and told the suspect to let go of the child. The mother told the police that the man let go of the girl and ran out of the store into the mall. Zion was taken into custody after he was located near walking near the food court. The woman helped police track the man down in the mall, reports the reporter. According to WYMT, those are weird letters, a magistrate has revoked Zion's passport and an Arabic language phone translator was needed during the arraignment. His bond is set at $200,000. Okay, so here you got some dude pulling a girl's hair, looks like it's being dragged away. Mama goes into action and does what she's got to do, and God bless her for it. Thank goodness for that mama. Now, the twist. Update. Armed mom blames cultural misunderstanding after accusing Middle Eastern man of attempting to kidnap daughter. The mom who thwarted an Egyptian man's alleged attempt to kidnap her 5-year-old daughter walked back her claims Tuesday, telling police she may have culturally misunderstood what this dude was doing to his daughter, her daughter. After reviewing footage, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting sick of this crap. This political correctness stuff about immigration, immigrants, cultural differences. Screw that. Screw them. You touch my daughter if I got a daughter, I'm going to do the same thing, and you're lucky I don't pull the freaking trigger. This cultural BS is exactly what it is. BS. Get over it. Get to the basic fundamentals, protection, and get over this political correctness crap. I'm done, Kincaid. Let's take a break. When I get back here, we're going to have attorney extraordinaire Ben Ross Watson. We're going to be talking NFA, GSA Act, CBA.
Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Rubeck, representative of Rubeck Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
What you want, baby, I got it. What you need, you know I got it too. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come a little bit, baby.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Adventure Radio Program. It's April 6, 2019. I want to just make a quick comment to all the people calling in and who are enjoying the show, who are new listeners, who are new subscribers to the YouTube channel. Just want to thank you very much. That motivates and pumps me up and everybody else in here. So keep listening, spread the word. Now, we're going to be playing a clip of me and attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. They sponsor this long segment, and it's chock full of information. We're going to be talking about the NFA and the Gun Control Act of 1968. It's great to know where these things come from as to why certain things happen when it goes to buy, owning, possessing firearms. So, Kincaid, take it away and enjoy the segment. Welcome back, everybody. Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, December 8, 2018. And
had to get a water break.
Attorney extraordinaire Ben Ross Watson is in with us, and we're going over the NFA, break. National Firearms Act, and the GCA, the Gun Control Act of 1968. So, Ross, now that you got your breath, why don't you start from the beginning, buddy?
Oh, so you're talking about gun control. I think other than starting at the Second Amendment, I think you can start in 1927 and kind of go from there. And it really gives you a picture, an idea about how back and forth our country has been about this issue. This is nothing new. Okay, and so it all started in 1927. They did a non-mailable gun act where just made it illegal, actually prevented the Postal Service from shipping guns through the mail. Well, then you have John Dillinger in his roadhouse hideout have the big shootout with the FBI and several law enforcement offices. And so from there, Congress goes in to pass the National Firearms Act. Okay, and they essentially, and you see the beauty of what the presidents did and what they do now, right? They use like an administrative agency, okay, such as the Internal Revenue Service, okay, or some other administrative body that's a part of the executive, okay, to try to get around, right, the regulations of the Constitution, right, or, you know, the parts that limit the government's authority. And so that's exactly what they did, and it was part of the revenue service. So what it did is made an excise tax, okay, on ownership of certain kinds of weapons, and they were concerned, obviously, with the machine guns, right, and the short barrel shotguns, short barrel firearms. What we have now is any other weapon, essentially those pistols that would fall into one of those categories, but don't really fall into one of those categories. And so what they did was they had you actually register those kinds of weapons and pay an excise tax. Now, you talk about the amount of money we pay today, and I don't know, what is it, $200?
It's $200. I was going to make that comment, yeah, back then.
So $200, and you got to, this has been like the same amount of money since then.
Yep.
Okay, and so today $200 is not really that huge of an investment. When you talk about $200 in 1934, I mean, how much was a house? I don't know, $10,000?
I don't know, but that $200 was a tremendous amount of money for the purpose they didn't want people buying it.
I mean, it'd be like making at least a $2,500 to $5,000 investment.
Probably.
Yeah. Just for that, just to have the weapon registered with the National Firearms Act. So the whole point was, is if we get them registered, this makes gangsters, right? This sort of deters gangsters from wanting to get it. And if we have this really expensive tax requirement, right, and it's really not a tax, right? It's more like a fee, right? It sounds more like a fee than it is a tax. But there's a way that the government structures these things where they end up getting it as a tax, and so therefore it falls under the Internal Revenue Code, and therefore they can exercise their executive powers, not powers that otherwise would fall subject to the Constitution. So this is what they did. And so the tax requirement would have reduce the number of people that would have had these weapons. So they felt like they were knocking two birds out with one stone, so to speak. Well, then they came back in 1938 and they made the Federal Firearms Licensing Act. Okay, and so in order to sell and be a dealer of firearms, so it's being engaged in the business of selling firearms, you had to get a federal license to do that. And a manufacturer as well had to get a federal license to do that, and they had to follow a whole bunch of record-keeping requirements. And it gave, right, what was then the Miscellaneous Tax Unit or something like that, which is now the ATF, it gave that body, okay, regulating authority. And so what that means is that they essentially, other than a few broad guidelines by the Constitution and then by Congress, they make their own rules.
That sounds just real nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so, and this is kind of what happened. And so then in 1939, we have the case that is still controversial to this day. Each side uses it to say that it advances the other side's proposition, when who knows what it did, but it certainly got the ball rolling for the this is not a constitutional right point of view, because in Miller versus the United States, United States versus Miller, I probably have it mixed up, but it's kind of interesting. I haven't read any actual biographies, but you can read several online posts about it and several legal forums too, that what happened here is essentially he got caught with a firearm, and so he challenged the portion of the National Firearms Act, right, being unconstitutional under the Second Amendment. But like I said, if you go read the backstory on all this, which I actually haven't read anything that's like peer-reviewed scientific or anything like that, but there's a lot of stories about it. It makes me think that it has a lot of truth to it. That it was basically an inside setup with the judge even knowing exactly what was going to happen.
That's a very delicate phrase, inside job. A lot of people say things that about that on other things too.
So. Well, I didn't say, inside setup means it was all sort of arranged with the parties involved knowing what was about to take place and intending for it to take place in the manner that it did. Okay, and so nothing, necessarily crooked or wrongful, but
I want to back you up on that, because look, I was looking this up here. If this is all accurate, just what you said, how it goes through so smoothly, in the sense of it was like all prearranged. Check this out. The NFA House bill was presented on May 28, 1934. The committee consideration, it was sent to the House Ways and Means Committee. It was passed on the House on June 13, 1934, passed by the Senate on the 18th, and then signed by the President on June 26th. Okay, that is super fast. So what you're just saying there about people's all coordinated, things, they plan this stuff.
Well, that act was planned. I mean, you got to remember what's going on in that time period. You have prohibition going on in that time period. You have how many different gangsters at that time are being put in a national theater, right, out in radio. All kinds of things are being put out there.
Almost becoming heroes, almost.
Almost, in that respect, in some parts of the country, right? And government needed to do something and needed to act swiftly.
I think there's another thing, too, and I did not know this. In 1933, I think it was, President-elect FDR had an assassination attempt on him. Did you know about that?
I'm sure I knew.
There was a guy... There was a guy in there, Gillespie, I believe his name was. He shot five rounds or six rounds, and five people were hit, and FDR wasn't. So using that, you know, trying to attempt to assassinate a president, that's another key.
What you're going
to
see later, we're going to see that again. We're going to see that come. We're going to see that happen two more times.
With Kennedy and all that, yeah.
Okay, and so, but as far as the Miller case, very, very interesting story. That essentially everybody knew that he had flipped on some of his gangster buddies. Right, and was going to go into hiding, right, as soon as he makes his challenge or gets his case dealt with. And so he makes the challenge against the National Firearms Act, right, and the judge upholds it, okay, at the state level, the judge decides in favor with Miller, saying that it's unconstitutional in the Second Amendment. That gives the state, right, the government, in this instance, the right to appeal, right, to go against what the judge said. And everybody knew that by the time it got back, if they won on appeal, which they probably would, because Miller wasn't going to challenge it because he would have gone into hiding, okay, because he had flipped on his buddies, okay, by the time it made it back, he'd be long gone and it wouldn't matter anyway.
Right.
And so that's essentially what happened at the Supreme Court level, because he goes to this, they go to the Supreme Court and they have nobody to challenge. There's nobody. Right, and so they make this challenge, and the judges in Miller even are clear, which has been a disputed point in other cases, and has been a disputed point in other advocates' arguments, right, back and forth. It's because the judges say there being no evidence here for us to consider, and there being nothing else for us to consider on the other side, and we can't take judicial notice of a factual issue, and there being nothing presented for us to look at, then we have no reason other than to decide in favor of the government. And so there was nobody to challenge that case, and so they win that case on the fact that they said, look, we're an administrative body, we're exercising an executive function, a part of the Internal Revenue Service. It's a lawful excise tax, right? The Second Amendment's for a well-regulated militia, and there's no evidence that this weapon, right, has any reasonable relation to being used as part of the state militia, right? And the court said, that's right, there's nobody presenting any evidence, there's nobody saying otherwise, so we agree. Okay, and so, essentially, right? And so gun rights activists used that to say, the court obviously, right, made it clear that the Second Amendment applies, there just wasn't any evidence of a militia in this case. Right, but if they had been presented that, this would have been a different story. Whereas, you know, the anti-camp says, look, the Second Amendment means we can regulate. It still means we can regulate at the state level. And so it really started the ball rolling on those ambiguous, right, interpretations, which all started from probably some defense lawyer working out some kind of deal. anyway, probably didn't realize that it was going to have that much impact. And... or maybe they did. Maybe that was the prosecutor. Maybe the prosecutor was looking, you know, there's a short-term battle and a long-term war. Maybe the prosecutor was looking at this long-term. Oh, yeah. And so this is what happened. And true enough, well, at least from what I read, that Miller ended up dead before they even made it back to court.
Uh-oh.
And so I guess the National Firearms Act didn't regulate his buddies too good.
didn't do a good job, did it?
And so then we go, but moving forward. So then we move into, I'll just jump ahead to 1968, when we there's the assassination attempt on John F. Kennedy. And so we get the Gun Control Act, right, which is going to regulate, come in and try to regulate those weapons. Okay, and it's going to make it a lot more, there's going to be a lot more regulations, strict regulations on transferring weapons. There's going to be there's going to be a prohibition on some kinds of weapons. And then we're going to go forward, right, into the 1980s, when the ATF, in regulating, right, and making its own regulations, gets a little out of hand.
You know what's funny about this? JFK gets shot, supposedly, with a Kakano rifle, a piece of junk rifle, okay, from a depository window, three shots in a moving vehicle, okay? And yet they ban, or they put limits on all these other types of guns when this little piece of crap rifle started off. It's like, give me a break, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's government work. We're gonna sweep with a broad brush.
Yeah.
Okay, to tackle things that are specific. Okay, and if you're in the Texas legislature, you're gonna be way too specific and end up saying something that's not right and end up tagging a lot more than you meant to. That's just a joke from all our inside jokes from all our laws we talk about here. But going from the regulations with the ATF, we're getting out of hand. And so, like I said, they were essentially their own, and they are with these administrative bodies. I can tell you just from other levels of practice, I represent law enforcement officers every once in a while. In fact, in a judicial review board, not in a administrative review boards about use of force and whether they used it excessively or not, and whether it fell in line with the policies and procedures in which they were trained to use them. And even in the DWI context, when you talk about driver's licenses, right, and even in the context of getting your license to carry, mm-hmm. these administrative bodies, I mean, it's just like I got to tell my clients, it doesn't matter how good an argument I make factually, the facts I put on, I mean, you're going to lose. It's State Office of Administrative Hearings. They say that these judges are impartial, and I'm not saying that they're not, and there's a lot of good judges up there. But the fact is, they're up there in the same building, they're up in the same town, that it's essentially that court,
deals
those courts are,
made, are
set up are by the agency, it's, you know, by that part of the executive office. I mean, it's just,
what gets me is, There's a sliver of potential necessity for all these rules and regulations, okay? But the rest of it is somebody's agenda. Why do they want this so restricted? I can see, you know, because people are back in the gangster days, okay, everybody's shooting machine guns. I can understand the thought process, although I don't agree with it. I can understand why they would come around things. But like I said, there's a sliver of truth of what you could go on, but there's people with agendas. Why do they do this? And a lot of people will say it's because people who don't have guns don't have control. And the ones that are in control are able to easily manipulate, maneuver, or do whatever they have to those who are not armed and able to defend themselves. So, I mean, it's this big twisted thing. So when you're talking about these people up in the higher offices talking, there's got to be some agenda. Don't you think?
I mean, there's not. I don't think everybody, even every politician from that standpoint, has that agenda. I don't think, again, there's a lot of, like I always talk about
they
this.
They don't, but they got their own agenda. And the people who have more power say, exactly, if you want that agenda to go, you got to follow my agenda.
Yes. And so I feel like a lot of times there's a shooting and then there's emotion involved, right? That emotion gets transferred onto some politician or somebody in the power that has power over a politician, right? Because that these people are crying to them to do something.
Right.
Okay, and I think that has a lot to do with recently in the in the view of, in the social opinions.
It's basically, you want it done, kiss the ring. That's basically what it ends up being. I'm serious, man. You got people who want to do the right things or get certain things done, but the people above say, well, you know, kiss the ring and I'll do this and that and we'll get done what you want to get done, but, you know, kiss the ring, submit to me.
Like I said, that definitely happens. I don't think that that's everybody's viewpoint. Okay, I think that some people aren't even educated about all the facts, which is what we spoke about on here before.
That's
I think
what
that there's
to do here is
there's facts right, skewed a lot of times, but and that's like what we see as soon as there's an assassination attempt, we have a lobby for more gun control. And so
I tell people, hey, look, they ask me how long does it take to get your license to carry. I said, well, depending on any terrorist attacks, it should be about 3 weeks.
Well, look, some of these are really debatable. I mean, some of these things are legitimate laws, I think. Some of them are legitimate.
Well, that's what I said, a sliver of it. But...
Some of them are legitimate, okay?
Give me one.
What do you mean, give you one? Well, I mean, I think we should have machine guns regulated. To a certain degree.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I think we should have machine guns regulated to a certain degree, and then how could you even say... How could you... even have the mental defect argument. I mean, obviously, at some degree, we've got to have some level of control, okay? Maybe, you've either, in my opinion, got to have some control or no control. There's got to be absolutely none, which means that if I'm allowed to carry whatever I want, and if anybody gets froggy, I'm allowed to shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah.
Okay, and so, otherwise, you'd have people that really are highly, I mean, somebody that could barely even... speak because they have such a mental defect being able to have a weapon without a problem. I think so. There's got to be a certain level of regulation, but I think one of them that's a big debate right now. Well, I didn't get to make it. So we moved from 68, then in the 80s, okay, in early 90s, and right before the Brady Bill, we have a big push because there's over regulation by the ATF, and so they come in and the Gun Owners Protection Act and things like that, and they kind of deregulate the ATF. Then James Brady gets shot with the Reagan, with what's going on with Reagan, and they come up with the Brady Bill, okay, which makes it illegal to have a certain weapons. We got to do more background checks. It establishes the NICS instant background checks, which was good in some way because it was instant. Mm-hmm. There wasn't this 5-day requirement, right? Then we have it where we're trying to off-limit assault weapons. There's an assault weapons ban that comes up, right? Then that expires in 2004. Bush passes, right, which is essentially a Gun Manufacturer Protection Act, okay? And you also have the TIART, right, amendment. And so I don't know where I stand on the TIART amendment. And the TIART amendment is that would keep the ones who sell firearms that are used in violent crimes, right, sell those things illegally, essentially.
Clarify that.
Sell them involved in a violent crime, those who sell firearms to those who use the firearms in an illegal manner in a violent crime, mm-hmm. Okay, they can't disclose the names of those individuals.
The person who sold the firearm.
Exactly.
Okay.
And...
See, here's the thing, though.
Both sides of... this viewpoint, and the viewpoint from the anti, the strong anti or gun control lobby, is that before this amendment, the public knew who these major sellers were because there was evidence that only 5-10%, right? It came down to the same dealers every time, so to speak. There was a large amount of the guns that were sold in violent crimes that were coming from the same dealer.
Well, that could be just logistics. But when you have NICS checks, though, that takes the burden off the dealer because he's doing everything supposedly that the feds say to do, the background check checks the personnel and it falls to them. The only problem is the mental issue. Because the mental issue, and we saw that from the military forces where they failed to supply information to NICS and all that kind of stuff. So people who may be looking great have a mental defect that's been known, but they didn't stop. And how's the dealer going to know? You know, so he's just doing according to what the regs are, and he sells a gun in good faith. So nothing should come back to the dealer.
And that's why I said I see both sides. I see why each side says that they don't. But if there was real evidence that, let's say, let's say you could trace, you know, 20%, which would be a high number, very high number, of all of these instances to one dealer, there's something going on. I mean, this guy obviously has a problem that other dealers don't have. I mean, it's one thing to have a one-time transaction that, you know, like when they were using San Antonio at the school shooting, to get the guy sold his farm.
I didn't think you were coming in. Thought something happened, so we're going to play guilty unless innocent unless proven guilty. It's the same thing with this guy who's selling 20% of the guns to the people who are causing all the problems.
Well, he's not convicted of any crime. It's just releasing his name. So right now, that amendment makes it completely confidential. It's absolutely confidential. There's no way you can get the information at all. And I don't know how I feel about that. What if you have somebody that's out there really that's involved, like, that just is technically, like, skirting illegal transfers every time, but is really promoting.
I thought you were talking about this. Not goes out to the public. Doesn't mean that internal affairs can't check it out and see.
That's true, but the sphere of public opinion on something like that is huge. They could kill that person's business and prevent them from making the rest of us look bad. And so I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying I don't know where I stand. I see both sides' argument. I think that's one regulation that could maybe be expounded upon a little bit. Maybe it could be touched upon. But I do see why those names need to be confidential. I see why it would be unfair to target those individuals for a one, maybe even a two transactions that they had no control over.
And let me just be clear, ladies and gentlemen, it's neither Ross nor I are coming up with this or that or saying in favor of this or in favor of that. We're simply saying there's these things out there that exist, NFA, GAC, or
Gun Control Act,
thank you, and all these different elements that are involved. All we're doing is bringing them into the spotlight here so you can make your own debate. The number is 254-697-6633 if you want to add a comment or two.
I mean, it's not like it's just super easy to get public information anyway. It's not, I mean, I just sent in a request to DMV for information. It's supposed to be 10-day requirement under FOIA, under the Texas Public Information Act, and I'm still waiting. I mean, it's not like something easy. You still got to make the request. You got to deal with some kind of government administrative official that deals with the public every day is not in a good mood. I mean, it's not just like it's the easiest information to get, even if there was a way to get it. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like, what I'm saying is it's not like everybody's going to do it, but reporters would get it and reporters would misuse it. And so I see why, that's one reason why they have that amendment.
A lot of this stuff, though, when I'm looking at the rules and the regs, and then you see what is allowed, it's almost like this minute little difference between topic A and topic B. It's like, come on, give me a break.
When you go look at the regs from the ATF, yeah, there's two back to back opinions from them about paintball.
What?
Guns, and we spoke about it on here before, and I don't remember the exact.
Yeah, but I got a brain like a Sith. That's why I have videos. I rewatch.
It talks about they talk about the paintball guns, and so it's like changing one little aspect of this paintball gun could make it.
Just like an AR-15. If you don't have a bayonet lug on it, it wasn't an assault rifle. You put a little chunk of metal on the front of the sight post. Is that for us? All right, we got our call. Let's see who we got on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name? What's the topic?
Is laws and crime, and I know you guys, the debate is always on, you know, the guns, who should have them, who not, blah, 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 okay? Guns aren't bad until they're in the hands of criminals or people who break laws, okay?
That's correct.
So the problem we have here is we have a lot of people that do that, and the punishment is not strong enough. I'm talking about the habitual criminals. They're the ones that are causing the problems on breaking laws and with guns. So when these habitual criminals, we need legislation that says, here's how you address this. You know, they had something similar to it in the 3-strike law here a few years ago. But when you do that and you lock them up for a long time, those taxpayers are still having to foot the bill for them. And I really don't want to do that. And the fact of the matter is, if they are an habitual criminal, we have no need for them in society anyway. Why can't we give them the death penalty? Why do us taxpayers have to keep funding people? Really, why do us taxpayers have to keep funding criminals who continually commit crimes? When you put some teeth in your laws to where they're scared of it, okay, then we won't have that. So if y'all want to discuss that, I guess I can go.
That's an interesting perspective. And,
no, really. Your laws, if you're going to have enforcement, if you're going to have laws to where people obey them, they have to have a fear of breaking the law. There's no fear of that today.
Well, I agree with that. I don't know how to say it, but people, the criminals out there, really, they don't. They don't care too much. They just do it anyway. And it's a difficult situation. And I'm disappointed that you called now. I wish you called earlier because I'm going to have to cut this segment off.
That's those dang defense lawyers making it tough.
I'll tell you what.
Why don't we get together next week?
Well, maybe we'll touch on that next week and we'll just discuss the pros and cons of being aggressive with the law and being lax with the law, like you've just discussed.
I mean, there's all kinds of. The first thing we do, I mean, the first thing I'm going to ask in a jury trial is can my jurors consider, right, the full range of punishment, meaning even the lesser, right? And so if you tell me no and you want the full max range if they've committed this third or fourth habitual crime, if you tell me no, I can't consider the full range, I'm going to ask that you be struck and the judge is probably going to strike you. And so what I'm going to be looking for from the defense standpoint is I'm going to be trying to get people like you out of there, right? And that's exactly what happens. And I would say that you have a pre-existing bias, right, towards the system. So if you really want to get one of these people, you better not answer honestly. And more dire. Don't do that.
I'll tell you what. Let's touch on this next week because we gotta stop this.
And segment. If you're in my case, please answer honestly.
Okay. Look, I appreciate you calling. Appreciate you listening. Stay tuned for next week, and we'll touch on this early in the segment, and we can maybe discuss a little bit more. So thanks for the call, Ross. We gotta cut this segment short. So tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
105 East Main Street here in Cambria. If you want to come holler at me, we love taking ideas and stuff. I actually got two emails this week. I'm going to get back to you. I promise. It was a crazy week this week. I'm going to do it this weekend. But if you do email me, leave me your phone number because sometimes I don't have a chance to email you back. Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to make an appointment, you can also call me at 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. I appreciate Rick Dodd. And you guys for having me on. So,
all right, Rick, thanks again for sponsoring the program. And Ross, thanks for coming on and talking about it. And let's take a break, a 1 minute break. Get me back on in about a minute. And we're going to do an opinion piece real quick, then get Janae Goodman on, and then the chief, the voice of law enforcement. Ross, thanks again. See you on the other side.
Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company. For friendly service and quantity work, stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowls. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 U.S. 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples. Then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766.
Hi, my lovelies. Today I'm going to tell you all about fats and oils and what it's important to acquire about. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Let's start with the difference between fats and oils. Generally speaking, oils are liquid at room temperature, while fats are solid. This is caused by the amount of saturated or unsaturated fatty acids present in them. Unsaturated oils are preferable for a healthy diet, but depending on their application, saturated fats prove to be useful, and they often lend their flavor and texture to our foods. Typically, unsaturated oils are sourced from plants, while fats are sourced from animal protein. Of course, both of these categories have mild exceptions, seeing that we can extract oil from fish and create hydrogenated fat, better known as Crisco, from plant material. To prevent high cholesterol, you should source unsaturated oils as often as possible. This includes olive, avocado, and coconut oils, which are heart-healthy choices. But no surprise that saturated fats get a bad rap. That doesn't mean everything about them is bad for you, but I'll get into that in a moment. Just remember, all things in moderation. The type of oil you use typically depends on the content and the application you have planned. This is where the smoke point of an oil comes into play. This is the temperature that an oil begins to smoke. Oils that can withstand a higher heat will have a higher smoke point. If an oil or fat is taken past its smoke point, it can be harmful to your body and negatively affects your food's flavor. Those healthier oils I mentioned can have a moderate smoke point, but they're much too expensive if you plan on using a large amount of them, say for frying. So what do you do? If you're looking for a lower cost option, blend oils are a great alternative. Clarifying butter is a technique that allows you to remove the milk solids from your butter. This increases the butter's shelf life and allows it to be used at a higher temperature without the worrying of browning, which can lead to bitter or burned taste foods. I've seen this product sold for far too much in the grocery store, so I'll be happy to tell you how to make your own at home. Take your solid butter and heat it over medium heat until thoroughly melted. Remove your butter from the heat and let it rest for about 2 minutes. This allows the white milk solids to sink to the bottom. You can then pour the yellow portion of your butter into a sealable container and store it in your fridge or your freezer. You may not realize this, but lard has more benefits than butter. It contains 20% less saturated fat, making it a friendlier alternative for heart health. It also has vitamin D content and is relatively inexpensive. Lard is what's rendered from pig's fat. And depending on how the pig was raised, it can have more omega-3 content than an equal dose of cod oil. There are three areas you can get this pig fat from. The back fat, the belly, or known as the bacon, and from around the kidneys. That kidney fat is referred to as leaf lard. Leaf lard is what you want to focus on if you want a traditional, colorless, and tasteless lard. To achieve that pure product, the leaf lard must be rendered slowly. 1 pound of leaf lard fat will render about 12 ounces of lard. To make your own, cut the fat into 1-inch cubes and freeze partially. It's best to grind the chunks to reduce your overall rendering time and to extract more lard in the end. Once your fat has been processed, put it into a wide-bottom pan along with about half a cup of water. This water will aid in melting the fat instead of browning it. Let your leaf lard melt over medium-low heat, stirring about every 10 to 15 minutes to make sure that it's heating evenly. The melting process here is what we refer to as rendering. It will take some time, up to about 5 hours to complete it. But I beg you to be patient if you wish to achieve that traditional neutral lard. Because it lacks preservatives, homemade lard is not shelf-stable and it must be kept cool. Keep it in your fridge for up to a month. If you don't plan on using your lard soon, you can keep it in the freezer for up to a year. Unfortunately, there's no way to make oils and fats last forever. You may, however, ward off the rancidity by storing your products in a cool, dark place. Exposure to oxygen, light, and heat will speed up the rancidification, so avoid keeping them near heat sources and seal them properly. The easiest way to check your oils and fats for rancidity is to smell them. If it gives off a sour or unsettling smell, chances are it's time to throw it out. I hope you learned a tubful today, because I sure enjoy sharing it with you. As always, be sure to drop me a line at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com for all your culinary and garden needs and show suggestions. If you're craving more, join me next week. But until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a great Friday today. I tell you what, it looks like nighttime where I'm at. You know, maybe we need to get our flashlights out and our headlamps out and go out and do some wet weather exploring, except the lightning hitting pretty hard around here. Hey, you know, I thought about what I was going to do today, and then I thought about I'm going to do it on interesting questions. And then people say, what is interesting questions? Have you ever noticed that when someone does a profession for a long time, whether it's a mechanic or whether it's a police officer, fireman, or maybe it's a lawyer or even an income tax person, which is not real good this time of year. But have you ever noticed that every time you go somewhere, people ask you questions? They think that you know everything about everything about everything. Well, unfortunately, we don't know everything about everything, but we do know something about something once in a while. So what I thought I'd do today is cover a few questions that people have asked me over the past, and basically I'm going to think about what the questions are. Number one, never trust a door chain for your security. So what we're going to talk about is what are some physical pointers. You know, here are 15 questions that have come to my mind that people have asked me over the past, and the answers are going to be real simple. When you go to a hotel room or if you have your house, and especially some of the older houses, they think that little bitty flimsy chain that you put on your door is going to keep people out. It won't even keep toddlers out, folks. Whether you're in a hotel room or a home, never rely on a door chain for safety. Even amateurs can defeat that. The screws that hold that in usually are less than a half an inch, and a half an inch won't do anybody any good holding something security-wise. Now, how about it? Have you ever been to a hotel room? I'm not going to answer that question for y'all, but have you ever been to a hotel room and you've thought about, there's a peephole, or maybe you have a peephole in your front door of your house? You do realize, everybody, that when you look out and see everything, that if people are on the outside looking in, they can also see in. It's a different perspective. It's a different angle, but yes, they can. So if you go to a hotel room or even at your own home, if you have a peephole that doesn't have a cover on it, a lot of the newer ones have a little thing that slides down and covers it up. Take a piece of crumbled up tissue paper, wad it up, put it in the hole so people can't see into your room. Why is that important? Well, folks, you know, if you're in there and you don't want people to see what you're doing or why you're doing while you're in there, it's good that you cover that up. But the real reason being is there are a lot of people that want to prey on people that are on vacations or even to see if you're home in the front room of your house. Real easy for them to do that. So please, take a few moments, crumple up some paper, put it in. If you have a house that you have a peephole in the front door, back door, whatever door you may have, take something and put on it. You can go out to the hardware store and you can buy a little sliding piece that covers your peephole, and it'll keep people from looking out. Now, the next question or the next answer to this is, have you ever thought about that the fob? I call it the FOB, the fob that you have for your car. You do realize that besides being able to open the doors to your car and setting your car alarm, that is a great personal defense weapon. You say, how can that be a personal defense weapon? Well, it's real simple. If you hear somebody coming around your home, or if you're out in the parking lot and you get accosted, if you've got your key in your hand, hit the panic button. Every single FOB has a panic button on it. Your horn will start honking, your lights will start flashing, and what that does is that, number one, it alerts people that something's going on, but more importantly, if you've got somebody that's trying to break into your house or if you've got somebody that's trying to bug you, it's going to usually cause them to flee. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to get caught from the attention. So think about that a minute. What I recommend you do when you go to bed at night, put that next to your bed. Keep it next to your nightstand or wherever you have next to your bed. That way, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you hear it going off and on, or you hear somebody coming into your house, you can press that and it's going to run them off. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit of idea here. Now, this is crazy and it sounds like it comes from some kind of science movie, but it's not. Also consider storing your key fob in an aluminum foil. You say, huh? You know, I've made aluminum foil hats before to keep the aliens from coming, but this is a little bit different. Take your alarm, take your FOP fob, and wrap it in aluminum foil. Now, sometimes we hear stories about how people can boost signals. What you do is when you wrap it in aluminum foil, when it's not in use, it's going to keep somebody from being to either coordinating your FOB or your fob with some other one that's maybe a generic that someone can't get into your house or your car from. Now, the thing is, folks, and this is really important, you know, most of you have remote controls that open and close your garage doors. If you do, protect that as if it was the key to your front door. I know that a lot of people leave them in their car. And you think about this for a moment. You keep your remote control for your garage opener in your car, you leave your car out on the driveway, you leave your car unlocked, all somebody has to do is sit their hiney in your front seat, open the garage door, take it in the house, and they're inside and with you. You got to use some common sense, folks. If you're going to keep your garage door opener in your car, make sure you keep your car locked or take your in and out of the house with you every night. You know, I know it sounds crazy, but people do things like this. I can't tell you how many auto burglaries in my career I worked where the cars were left unlocked. About 95% of every one of them are left unlocked and sitting there in the car, and I guarantee you 3/4 of them was the remote control that opens and closes the garage door. I don't want somebody walking in my garage door being able to shut it and then have all day long to come into my house. Now, if you carry a physical key in your hand while you're walking, you've now got a weapon with you. And you say, what? Encourage your better half, whether you're male or female, when they leave the store and they're walking into a large parking lot like a mall or a shopping area, have the key between their fingers, between the middle finger and the index finger, have it sticking out. You now have a weapon. If you get accosted by someone, if somebody walks up to you, start stabbing them in the face with it. It's another protection device you may have. If you've got a gun, which we hope you do, you got a better weapon. But if you don't have a gun with you, if you have no other alternative, keep that between your finger and middle finger, forefinger, and use it as a weapon of defense when someone comes up and bothers you. Now, if it's somebody that's just coming up to ask directions, don't do it without asking them what's going on. You don't want to hurt somebody. No, I'm just kidding. Do whatever it is to protect yourself, folks. Put your home address into your smartphones, your GPS, and other devices. If you do that, you've now done something that's really important for you. If someone steals your phone or breaks into your car while you're away from home, you don't want the crook to attempt to rob your home or call friends in the area to do it. Theoretically, any paperwork in a car that contains your home address should be kept backed up in the glove compartment, locked up in the glove compartment, to minimize the risk of information that can be used or misused, such as your insurance. And I think I said put your home address in there. No, don't put your home address in there. That's why I'm sorry about that. Don't put your home address into your cell phone if you're going to leave your cell phone inside your car. Leave nothing with your personal information in your car that's not locked up. I know that most of the new modern glove boxes, many of them you can't lock, but there are some that still you can. If you can't lock it, find you some way, either put it on your telephone, take a picture of it, do something that you've got where you don't have to leave your personal information inside your car. It's very, very important. Secondly, enable remote swipe for your smartphone. What does that mean? Well, it's real simple. If your phone's stolen, you want to make sure that any sensitive information on your phone is protected. For example, your children's schedules may be able to be determined. Is it swiped? If you have remote wipe on your smartphone, and it's something you have to ask for, what you can do is you can remotely take all the information off of your cell phone that would be able to hurt someone. And I know it sounds crazy, but that's one of the things. Ask your provider about it. It's called remote wipe. They'll be able to take all the pertinent information off your cell phone where basically it's not any good. And hopefully, if you ever have your cell phone stolen, the very second you think it's stolen, get on your telephone, call your provider, whether it's AT&T, Verizon, the one from Walmart or whatever it may be, and have them cancel your phone immediately. I mean immediately. And you say, well, what if I just misplaced it? What if you didn't? If you didn't just misplace it, you can always have it reactivated. But it also can be used to use a lot of things. You can have a lot of calls that come up on it. And I know this sounds crazy, folks, but if someone steals your cell phone and they want to go to, say, a 1-900 number or a number that charges, or maybe out of country number that charges by the minute, you can imagine the number of costs that are going to be accrued upon your cell phone bill. Now, the next one is very important, and this is a question that's asked me all the time about social media. We all believe and work on social media. I'm on it every single day, and I'm sure you are too. Don't overshare about yourself on social media. You have no reason, absolutely no reason, to put your most important information out there. And what do you say? What is most important? Don't have a tendency to post your vacation pictures while you're still far away from home. Wait till you get home to do it. The reason being, if people see your stream page, someone sees your tweets, your tweeters, you can come back and somebody can use that information against you. They'll come to your house. They'll take things from you. Your public information is exactly that, public information. You know, I tell you, I look at Facebook every day, and I see people that are posting their cruise pictures or their pictures of Colorado or their pictures of skiing and Idaho or wherever it may be. And I think to myself, you know, that's really, really pretty stupid. And I've done the same thing before. And after I've done it, I said, that's pretty stupid. The reason being, if you post where you're at, that means you're not at home. Your house is not protected. Lock up your dangerous medications at home. And you say, why do that? Well, if your home is broken into, and if you have medications that are extremely important to you, you don't know what personal demons everyone has who visits your home. And you say, what do you mean by that? I'm going to ask you a question now. These are questions that have been asked me, but let me ask you a question. And I know the answer to this. How many of you have gone to someone's home, asked to use their restroom, And when you're in there, you see their medicine cabinet, and you quietly open the medicine cabinet just to see what they're taking. Well, most people just do that because they're inquisitive. But what if you have a relative, or you have maybe a relative's friend who's at your house, and that person has a personal demon, and they see in your medicine cabinet, they see tramadol, or maybe see Vicodin, or see Ativan, or something of that nature. Whatever it is, try to keep those medications away from the general anyone can see, including your family. Don't let anyone see your sensitive information on a computerized device. You know, with the cameras the way they are today, it's important to block people's views of your hands when entering PIN numbers. Someone can be standing behind you with a phone, and all they have to do is snap it or set it on a movie, and while you're putting your PIN in or other information in, they can be taking a picture of it. Things like that are important. Cover the camera. Cover yourself when you're doing that. Make sure that no one's around you. And I know that's sometimes hard, but make the habit of doing that. You know, and now if you see the news today, and especially the Temple paper, they're talking about skimmers that are on the rise. When you go to put your gas card in an outside pump at a gas station, before you stick it in there, take your fingers, wiggle the device that's going to be put into, and see if it pops out. If it pops out, if it comes out very easily, don't use your card. It's best not to use your card anyway, but everyone does it because it saves so much time. But skimmers are on the rise. Skimmers have become very, very popular in Central Texas. A lot of people are making a lot of money off of individuals because of skimmers. One of the other things I tell you is when you're making phone calls on your phone, make sure that you don't give personal information out where people can hear it. Be private. Use that your private time. Make sure that no one hears or isn't around you. You know, if you're in an emergency, think. And like I said, these are questions that are people who called and asked me before about to do. Scammers are on the rise. Crime is on the rise. So we need to be more conscious of it. I've talked a lot today about these questions. You know, be careful, folks. That's all I'm going to tell you is right now that it seems like people are becoming more desperate, people becoming more heinous. Make sure that you do a few things to protect yourself when you go places. Protect your phone, protect your valuables, protect your identity. Lock up your information that you have. Lock up the information that's important to you. Take advantage of you when they don't have to. That's the bottom line. You know, there's a lot of things that happen to us every day, folks. But we, as a smart individual, smart person, we can prevent that if we just think. Don't think people are all good, because there's a lot out there that are, but there's a lot out there that aren't. So that's kind of my question and answers for today. I hope everybody has a great Saturday. Try not to get out in these storms. I'm going to drive up I-35 about 80 miles here in a few minutes. Not looking forward to that, but make sure, folks, that if you're out and about, be careful, slow down, watch your speed, and we're under a tornado watch right now, so watch the skies. Have a great week, everybody. Be safe.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up, or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowlers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from EBCO Development in Cameron. Okay, so one of those bargain home improvement workers hurt himself on the job. Who pays? You do, because his low prices don't include insurance for problems like that. So you think you got a bargain? Wrong answer. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. Remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. Call us first. We're EBCO Development. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Arch Coons, the owner of AMC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to AMC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. AMC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. We're live again, and that was the Chief a few minutes ago. He was live as well, but we had a recorded segment from Janae and attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. So the rest of the show is going to be pretty interesting, and we're going to start with the devotional minute. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening for the last month or so that for years I've been sending devotionals via text to a lot of people. And if you're interested in receiving these, they are sent anywhere from 2 to 4 in the morning, Monday through Friday. I give you guys a break on the weekend. If you're interested, though, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. I send them individually. I don't send them in groups, so you're not going to know anybody else's number or anything like that. And I know you can hide them in group form and all that kind of stuff, but I'm a slow, techie kind of guy. I got to figure all that kind of stuff out. But I'm sending them individual. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you the one we've selected from the week to read today, and it goes as follows. I say, good morning. Quote, carry on, my wayward son, for there will peace when you are done. Will be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. That's from Kansas Rock Band, the song. Okay. Then later on into the devotional text, I had the definition of what the word wayward means from Webster's, and it says difficult to control or predict because of unusual or perverse behavior. I continue with a verse from Jeremiah 3:22. It says, my wayward children, says the Lord, come back to me and I will heal your wayward hearts. And I conclude with, we all have our seasons or trials, confusion, rejection of the word, but God never leaves us. Let's all draw closer to him so that when a wayward moment comes, we can just say, no thanks. Have a blessed day. So that's the devotional minute. That was on Wednesday. I send them Monday through Friday. If you're interested in receiving something like that, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Tell me your name and a textable phone number, and that you heard it on the radio and you want to receive it, and I'll send it to you Monday through Friday, anywhere between 2 and 4 in the morning. And hopefully, I don't know, it'll do something for you, okay? What I pray is that the Lord guide me as to what to say so that when you receive it, it's planted and he can water it and it'll grow into something fruitful. This segment now that we're talking about is the product spotlight, and it's sponsored by ANC Firearms. We've got Arch Kuntz is the owner of ANC Firearms. He's been there for years, and I've known him for years. He's an incredible guy. He's got a great store, great staff, Mike, Clint, and Dennis. And they got products, everything you need there. It's a hometown, homegrown type of deal, very personal. You don't feel like a number. You're an actual person who is taken care of from A to Z. They got pistols, revolvers, rifles, shotgun, ammo, accessories, knives, reloading equipment, the works. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard this on the show. We're going to be talking about the Ruger Super Blackhawk 44 Magnum. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll see a video of me holding the revolver. Jonathan, if you're listening out there, buddy, we've been communicating, made a comment about how the actual revolver looked. They changed the trigger guard. Trigger guard used to have the straight back edge to it, which I have. And if you don't know how to use it right, I guess it'll bite you a little bit. But they changed it to the round trigger guard, and they've got different length barrels as well. So that, I hope that answers that question. If you want to give a call in, feel free to do so. But I'm going to read to you an article from guns.com concerning the Ruger Super Blackhawk 44 Magnum. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an awesome gun. It's an incredible gun. It's one of those guns you need to have in your inventory because it is so versatile. It never lets you down. It always works. I've got a friend of mine who got one, and he was using super hot loads, and the dirt would lift off the floor. Your second hand and your watch would stop for a second or two because of the percussion, but the gun didn't miss a lick. All right, so ANC Firearms has this on the shelf right now, and if it goes, you can get another one. But let me read to you from this guns.com review. I dissected it here due to the lack of time. But it goes, Ruger has staked their reputation on building tough, reliable firearms at a reasonable price for years now. Common descriptors of their guns are working class, practical, and perhaps most commonly, overbuilt. While I'm not sure the first two fit the bill of the Super Blackhawk, the last one certainly does, and I love it. This 44 Magnum big bore revolver is so tough, hand-loading manuals include information for use in them exclusively. You can't get a much better endorsement on durability than that. Perhaps surprisingly, the Super Blackhawk isn't just tough. It can also be super fun to shoot. And I think I screwed that sentence up, but you get the gist of it. Spoiler for those uninterested in reading to the end. This gun is awesome, and if you can afford it, you should buy it. And I concur with that. The Super Blackhawk is one of Ruger's oldest designs. It's a single-action revolver with some modernizations based off the Colt guns of yore, and a variety of Super Blackhawk models have been available over the years. The most common Super Blackhawk I see is the 44 Magnum, and that's what I'm reviewing here. For the money, you're getting quite a hunk of gun. The Super Blackhawk's heft is immediately noticeable, yet it's a huge gun, most noticeable noticeably the giant cylinder and barrel assembly, but it does not feel silly or overwhelming to me, partly because of the balance and partly because of the traditional cowboy grips that fit nicely in most hands. It balances freakishly well in a single-handed grip. I said that from the get-go a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen, when I got mine. The gun just rolls in your hand. Even though it's a big gun, it just rolls in your hand when you shoot it. It's not that big a deal to shoot it. Back to the article. Construction is, in a word, solid. The loading gate on the right side of the gun opens and closes with a good authoritarian click and is still comfortably snug on my example after thousands of operations. My Super Blackhawk has a utilitarian blued finish. It's not a spectacular mirror sheen, but it looks good enough for the price, and I think the contrast with the very nice wood grips it came with makes for a handsome but still intimidating revolver. The trigger and hammer are both finished shiny silver, adding nice touches of contrast to the blue and wood. From an aesthetic standpoint, I think this is one of the coolest looking guns I've ever owned. I concur to that. It's looked even more impressive next to other guns to provide a sense of scale. I concur to that. I mean, it's really an awesome weapon. The Blackhawk shoots wonderfully. Cocking hammer requires a light amount. Are these calls for me, guys? Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hold up on this. Let's put the guy on the air. Go ahead. It's Mark. Okay.
Hey, man, this is Mark Boyer. How you doing, pal?
Hey, brother, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
I'm having a great day, and I'm loving the show, man. You always got so much good information to put out. And real briefly, I got to tell you, man, that Super Blackhawk you're talking about, one of the best weapons ever made. When I was doing operations in Alaska, one of our scouts that actually takes us to certain locations throughout Alaska for our operations, that's the only gun he carries next to his big elephant rifle, because he said that that gun is reliable in taking down Kodiak bears. So I'm telling you, we don't have Kodiak bears here in Texas, but everything's bigger in Texas. And that Blackhawk, oh, hell yeah, man, that is the way to go, buddy.
I agree, so, Mark. I agree. I've got one, and I just love it to death. And like I was mentioning just a minute ago, you would think it's going to hurt your hand. It doesn't. It just, the way that grip is designed, it rolls in your hand. So it takes a lot of that energy out of it. So I can't agree with you more. It's a great gun.
Like all good weapons, it shouldn't feel like a tool. It should feel like an extension of the body. Oh, and that's what you're talking about.
We need to make a video on that one. I need to make a video of you saying that one. That's a great quote. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm going to shut up and let you keep punching, man. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's proof, proof in the pudding that the thing is a great gun. It works great, especially in those hostile environments up there in Alaska. Back to the article, though. It's also something of a cliche, but it's true that the plow handle, the plow handle grip shape helps the gun roll in your hand with recoil. Combined with the weight of the Super Blackhawk, it's comfortable to shoot loads that would feel rather punishing in most double action revolvers. Amen to that. The Blackhawk sights are another departure from the common gutter and half moon fixed sights. Here you get a modern set of sights adjustable for windage and elevation with a small flathead screwdriver and a tall front post. They allow for quick, accurate shooting. Okay. Normally, I categorize firearms by function and recommend them to specific audiences. No gun is really great for everything or everyone, but assuming you have a pulse and the money, I recommend that the Super Blackhawk to anybody even a little interested in single-action revolvers. It's just such a well-built gun, I cannot imagine any owner lacking pure joy from this purchase. Now, I want to make a personal comment. You know, if you just want to have the gun, but you still don't want to shoot 44 mags, you can get 44 Russians, or you can download your 44 mags just to make them pop, but it's a beautiful gun, okay? Now, overall, I think my enthusiasm for this revolver should be obvious. If it's not, I'll quickly recap everything here. He states, superb construction, aesthetically pleasing, mechanically sound, great accuracy. It's a hand-loading delight for those reloaders out there. Fun for the whole family. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an exceptionally good gun. You gotta have it. If you're blessed with the finances to get it in your inventory of firearms. You won't regret it. It'll maintain its value. ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer has one on the shelf right now. They're like Doritos, you know. Buy it and they'll get more. Okay, Doritos, you eat a chip, they'll make more. Well, buy a gun, they'll get more. Give them a call, 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it on the radio here. Support the sponsors who support the radio program. Without the support of the sponsors, I'm off the air. Without your support, they close the doors. Hey, circle of life. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to be talking to you about Liquor Depot as well in the Milan Plaza. To all you vegans out there, I think you're going to enjoy this.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy.
Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from EBCO Development. For more than 25 years, you've been able to find EBCO Development in the phone book. How many other companies are still listed along with us? It's a good question. Check it out and see for yourself. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. Quality remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. That's EBCO Development. Call us first at 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's April 6th. I couldn't stop that music. I've told you this weeks past. And you start playing Stranglehold. Oh, it's got a stranglehold on me. I just got to listen to it. It's about a seven-minute song. I could have killed about seven, 8 minutes with that song, but I figured I got too much info here to give out. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a listener to the program, a faithful listener, you would have realized that I did not do my observation piece when it came time for true stories of self-defense. Well, guess what? It's coming right now. So I'm going to read to you my observation piece. They used to be opinion pieces, but opinion pieces, it's like the backside of everybody. Everybody's got one, but, you know, a lot of times they stink. So I've changed it to observation piece because observations, it's an observation. So my observation piece for this week is and is titled, They Walk Among Us. Ladies and gentlemen, they walk among us, and that's a scary thing. Who are the they that I'm talking about? They are the known, quote unquote, and the unknown, quote unquote. They are friends, family, acquaintances, passerbyers, foreigners, anyone who has the mind of evil. The evil to hurt, maim, kidnap, rape, kill, whatever. I read more and more articles of the heartless, unreasonable, and sickening acts of violence to the innocent that is happening in this country and abroad. There is a breakdown of society, first in the big cities, also at the borders with unaccounted for illegal aliens, and soon it will be crept into the small town America if it hasn't already. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very concerned about this. I've read articles, heard news reports, seen video of a normal-looking person suddenly going on a rampage of violence against the innocent bystanders who are near them. It's either in the name of Allah, racist in nature, or because the person is mentally deranged. Because of this, we can no longer live in a bubble of denial. For those of you wasting your time trying to ban guns, your time would be better spent buying a gun and learning how to use it against these deranged people. Unlike many people out there, I get my information from multiple sources and cross-reference the information to try and get the most accurate information possible. In doing so, I become very concerned with the safety of many. The elderly, women, young children, family, and myself. If you are not, then you're just living under a rock. There are some things that just need to be done. One of those things is being informed and being prepared for the knowledge you have learned. You can either prepare and protect yourself, or you can become a statistic on an FBI report. To steal a line from the Bible in part, quote, "For me and my house, I shall get prepared." Prepared both physically and spiritually. I hope you will join me in being prepared. And that's my observation piece for the week, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoy it. If not, I really don't care. Now, let me go over a couple articles here. I've had these articles for a while. I just have never had a chance to read them since I got them. So I figured I'd talk to them about them now. You probably will have heard about them, but I just want to make recognition of them. This headline here from the paper goes, "Pope acknowledges clergy sex abuse of nuns." I read that. I just shook my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, man. You know, I get stuff on the street. I get stuff at work. I get stuff here and there. But man, the clergy now sexually abusing nuns. Let me read this. Aboard the papal plane, Pope Francis on Tuesday publicly acknowledged the scandal of priests and bishops sexually abusing nuns and vowed to do more to fight the problem. The latest sign that there is no end in sight to the Catholic Church's abuse crisis. And that it now has a reckoning from the Me Too movement. Well, half of that Me Too thing is crazy. The other half I totally understand. Francis admitted to the problem for the first time in public during a news conference. The acknowledgement comes just 2 weeks before he hosts the unprecedented gathering of bishops to craft a global response to the scandal of priestly predators who target children and the superiors who cover up the crimes. We got a mess out there. It's a mess. Francis was asked about priests who target adult women, the religious sisters who are the backbone of the Catholic Church's education, health care, and social service ministries around the globe. It's not that everyone does this, but there have been priests and bishops who have, Francis told reporters, and I think that it's continuing because it's not like once you realize it, it stops, it continues. And for some time, we're working on it. Now, that's about the only thing I'll agree with this guy. And ladies and gentlemen, I used to be a Catholic, and I'm not one anymore. I'll just leave it at that. You can read between the lines. And I lost my thought. Should we do something more? Yes. Is there the will? Yes. But it's a path that we have already begun, Francis said. The issue has come to the fore amid the Catholic Church's overall reckoning with sexual abuse of minors and the Me Too-inspired acknowledgement that adults can be victims of abuse whenever there is an imbalance of power in a relationship. Now, that I respect. I understand that. The imbalance of power, I get that point. In November, the organization representing all the world's female Catholic religious orders, the International Union of Superiors General, publicly denounced the culture of silence and secrecy that prevented nuns from speaking out and urged sisters to report abuse to their superiors and police. And just last week, the women's magazine of the Vatican newspaper identified the clerical culture of the all-powerful clergy as the culprit. Now, I want to make a comment here. Ladies and gentlemen, there's genuine problems out there. But for you flakes and for you people who just want notoriety and say something just to be able to get on the front headlines, screw you, okay? You can go where you know where. Just go there. I'm talking about serious people having a serious problem. I totally respect that. But for all you other people, get lost. The magazine, Women Church World, noted that the nuns being forced to abort the priest's children or bear children that the priest refused to recognize. Francis acknowledged the problem. Acknowledgement of the problem comes as he prepares to decide the fate of the disgraced American ex-cardinal, Theodore McCarrick, who is accused of abusing minors as well as adult seminarians. That case also has a spotlight on the issue of abusive power relationships. Okay, I'm going to stop there. You have somebody in power. A person in power is held at a higher standard. That person in the high position of power, we're all human, ladies and gentlemen. We all have our personal demons. But we must, in a position of power, try to suppress those demons to the best of our abilities, okay? Nobody's perfect. None of us are Christ, okay? We're not perfect. We do have our problems. But in those positions of power, you have to work it even harder. You're held to a higher standard. And more of these people in positions of power and higher standards are not utilizing that strength, or trying to at least, and are taking advantage of the system. So for those people, they should be held accountable. Okay, moving on to another one. Another article here. I've been wanting to read this for a while. I got this in February. This sickens me. Four malnourished siblings placed in foster care. This is Dallas. Four malnourished siblings, all age 5 or younger, have been placed in foster care after authorities found them hungry and thirsty in a North Texas barn, two locked in a dog cage, and the others smeared with excrement. Law enforcement found the children today, Tuesday morning, while responding to a domestic disturbance call. Blah, blah, blah. The three boys and girl were released from the hospital Tuesday evening and placed into foster care. The agency did not say if they were split up or not. It said that they found the two kids locked in a 3x3-foot cage, and the other two were filthy and only partially clothed. This guy called it the worst case of child abuse he's seen in 44 years of his career. And then the last paragraph goes, Aiken said the children were starving and that a plentiful supply of food had been located inside cabinets and refrigerator in the barn. Deputies fed the kids, and gave them water before taking them to the hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to me and you're one of these freaking creeps who treat children like this, you should pray to God and thank God that I don't know where you're at, okay? Don't do that to children. That's sickening. And you sexual predators out there messing with kids, you should thank God I don't see you, okay? Just leave it at that. Another comment here on an article that I saw. Belton police, eggs and rocks thrown on I-14, Interstate 14. And the reason I'm reading this is, you know, I know you got to report the news, but when you report the news, people see it and hear it, and then they start copycatting it. So, and what happened, I'm not even going to read the article. I'm just going to talk a little bit. Somebody threw a rock, and I'm sure you all know this. I can't give you the facts because I don't have the article in front of me. I'm just doing this off of memory. Somebody threw a rock, I think it was on I-35, went through the windshield of a car and killed a young woman, I believe. Tragic. It's like senseless. And they reported that. And I understand why you report that. It's like, why would somebody do something like this? Well, now you get another article here that now people are throwing eggs and rocks thrown on Interstate I-14. It's when you start doing these articles and proliferate them, you start getting people to copycat them. You got teen suicides, mass shootings, throwing rocks. You got to be careful how you advertise and promote these articles, because people are just going to copy those things. It's a difficult balance of reporting the news, but not over-reporting it, where these sickos think, you know, I'm a loser, I'm going nowhere in life, I want to kill myself, but if I'm going to do it, let me go out in a blaze of glory. And that blaze of glory is I'll get my name in the paper or broadcast over the news channels once or twice in my life. And, you know, hey, there I go. So I don't know. That, I guess that's an opinion piece right there, or an observation piece, that people do a lot of copycat stuff due to how much the news reports it. Okay, I want to play another recording, another observation piece I have. It kind of goes with the observation piece I read here, and that was They Walk Among Us. So, Kincaid, go ahead and play that. When we come back, we'll do a little bit more banter here. Now, you know I've got opinions, like I just stated. I've also got an opinion here, my weekly opinion, and I've titled it, you're going to love this, it's so friendly, it's titled Violence, Blood, and Death. Ladies and gentlemen, I constantly talk about mindset. You must have your mind set that when defending yourself, there's a good chance there will be violence, blood, and possibly death. If it's your death, then any chance of psychological effects to you will no longer be of concern, okay? However, if you cause injury or death to another and your mindset is not prepared, you may actually get some type of remorse or anguish and regret, thinking, why did I do this? Should I have done this? Could I have done something else? The scenario is this: kill or be killed. However, in a society where political correctness rules, I'll tweak that by saying, stop the threat or be killed. Okay? Stop the threat or be killed. You have a choice. If you feel that the line has been crossed and your personal safety and life are on the line, you can either stop the threat or let the threat have its way with you. Once again, my mathematical equation comes into play here. M plus M equals RT. Mindset plus mechanics equals response time. If your mindset understands the seriousness of the situation and you are well trained in both mind and body, you will have more time to make the right decision. If the decision is made to stop the threat and your mindset is proper, your aftermath reaction will be more of thankfulness than regret. Thankfulness that you were prepared to save your life or someone, one of your loved ones. Not remorse that you were hesitant and have become another victim of a crime statistic. It is very necessary to realize, know, and understand, and accept that violence of action can cause violence, blood, and possibly death. Seeing and being involved in a scenario like this can be shocking to your senses. This is why I study human nature, watch videos of people physically assaulting others, and definitely watching people defending themselves with firearms, knives, and weapons of opportunities. Being a student of these scenarios have taught me scenarios have taught me that violence can break out by the smallest provocation and lead to deadly results almost instantaneously. To the person who's not trained and whose mindset is not prepared for this type of violence, they have almost certainly lost the fight from the start. Do you want to be that person? Of course not. Does it mean if your mindset is prepared and your understanding of body and equipment is good that you couldn't end up on the losing side? Of course not. Whether trained or untrained, you can be on the losing side. But without the training, the chances of winning are slim to none and slim left town. I call every law-abiding person to action. Get your mindset right. Get physically fit to the best of your ability and definitely understand how your gun works and how to shoot accurately under stress. There may come an unexpected time, a most inconvenient time, and a very short amount of time that you may have to defend yourself using violent actions, causing possible blood to spill and possibly taking a life. No one is immune to this possibility, but we can all take a shot of preparedness to hopefully minimize its effects. And with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, and we're going to be talking a plethora of things. See you on the other side. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back here live. I wanted to make a mention of something. George out there at Liquor Depot at the Milan Plaza, he's a great guy, man. He really is. He's a great guy. He's got a great business. liquors, liqueurs, beers, wines, the whole works here. I was in there the other day, and I saw this, and we started cracking up about this. But I thought, you know, all you vegans out there, you might like this. We've got Barton Naturals. It's a vodka with natural flavors. It's gluten-free. This is on the label. Gluten-free, kosher, vegan-friendly, all natural. And I think it's right under $10. It's a half a gallon of vodka. So if they're having the carnival out there in front of the Brookshire Brothers and George's store, actually. So ladies and gentlemen, when you take your children out and you're stressing out, just go into Liquor Depot. And I'm sure George can find you something to calm your nerves. All right. And if you're a vegan out there, remember Barton Naturals vodka, gluten-free, kosher, vegan friendly, all natural vodka, as well as so many other things. Great gift ideas, special packaging to present it. George has done me a fantastic favor. I was looking for a special gift for somebody and I showed him something and he was able to find it for me. So he can do that for you too. Special events, special types of things that you need. Go check him out. George, Liquor Depot, Milan Plaza. You're going to need it because that carnival is going to drive you nuts. Okay. All right. Kincaid, are we set for this other one? And what is it? What's the title?
True Stories of Self-Defense.
True Stories of Self-Defense. I'm going to close up the show with a pre-recorded, or actually a re-recording of, or a replay of a recording that I did of True Stories of Self-Defense. Those are always good to learn from. And I'm going to leave that with you. And until next week, keep your powder dry and God bless.
All right, story number three. Utah concealed carry permit holder rescues cop. I think this is cool. A courageous Utah citizen is credited with saving the life of a Utah police officer. Seeing the officer being assaulted in Springville, the Good Samaritan drew his weapon, moved in on the attacker, and ordered him to stop. The attacker stopped the attack on the officer and fled the scene, but was apprehended later. The officer suffered a broken eye socket and lacerations around the eye.
Holy crap.
Now, my first comment is this about local law enforcement. Guys, deputies, officers, I think it's a really good idea if you know who's licensed to carry, become really good friends with them because they're going to back you up. I know a handful of guys who wear badges and they know me. If I'm there and something goes down or they got my number and they call me, I'm backing them up, no problem. So you could be somebody who could help an officer in distress.
It also strikes me as this is just another good reason to be on good terms with your general public. You know, if you're an officer of the law, you want to be on good terms with them for several different reasons. But if someone's beating the heck out of you, like what's happening here, it's nice to know that there's someone nearby who can help out.
Here's another thing, too. When an individual wears a badge, this relationship you're talking about, having a good relationship, a person who understands it, like a person like me without a badge, understands, hey, what's going on, buddy, the person with the badge. But when it comes time for action and the police officer's on the scene to take control, I submit to the officer. So that's what people don't confront the officer, don't be a challenge to the officer, don't be a nuisance to the officer, and don't forget your relationship with him. It's like a father friend. I like my dad, but I also will listen and respect him.
So. You know, it's a lot of people don't consider, you know, the full depth of that relationship between law enforcement and the civilian population, okay? Yeah, they're there to make sure that the laws are enforced. They're there to keep people safe. If you extrapolate from that, that means if it happens to come to it, they've signed up to take a bullet for you. They've signed up to put their life in between you and harm, meaning they're willing to get shot, hurt, maimed, or even killed to keep you safe.
But let's be clear, it's not a requirement for them to do that.
I didn't say
requirement. I believe I'm correct on that, right? It's not based on a court decision. It's not required by an officer. If he's there at the moment, he's supposed to take care of the situation.
They're willing to do it is the point.
Yeah.
They're willing to step
up. It takes a certain person to wear a badge.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. Three stories of self-defense. Hopefully we can learn from